You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Quick question for you. Do you feel like your marriage is on life support, that it's in critical condition and in trouble? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the different levels of a marriage crisis all the way down to a marriage disaster. But before we get there, I want to tell you a quick story about what happened several years ago. I was doing a trail marathon. Now, a trail marathon is the exact same distance, give or take a few tenths of a mile, as a regular marathon. So I was running about 26 miles, a little over 26 miles. The difference is I was on a trail in the backwoods, and so I was running on the same trails that would be used by mountain bikers and other people that were just hiking through the forest. Now, the area I was in had some smaller mountains, not huge mountains, but it was a very hilly route. And I remember as I started the route, we were headed downhill, and I thought to myself, you know, this is a piece of cake. I'm not going to have any problem at all. And I got a little overly confident, so I ran a little faster than I should have, so much so that I realized at one point that even downhill, I was getting tireder than I should have been for that point. And I trained plenty for the marathon, so I knew how I should feel along the way. I knew how I should feel at 2 miles, at 4 miles, at 10 miles. I knew all that. And as we were headed in the beginning part, I was just going a little fast, a little overconfident, a little overzealous, seeing all the other people who were just trucking along. And then we turned the corner, and the trail disappeared for a minute in the canopy of trees. And as I rounded out and I came up, I realized that we were now headed a little bit uphill. Well, I was already a little bit behind because I hadn't been conserving my energy. I hadn't been watching what was going on. I hadn't been paying attention to what was going on at the beginning of the race when the route was pretty easy. And so as it started to bank up, I'd already bitten through a lot of the reserves that I didn't realize that I had already gone through. And so the uphill, just the slight uphill, it wasn't any big deal. I just thought, okay, well, this is okay, because once it flattens out and drops back down, I'll just slow down and regain. So I'm chugging up a slight incline. And as I continued on, I looked down to notice that I was still going faster than the pace that I had trained on. And I was still getting sucked into that competitive thing where people around me were passing me, and I didn't want to be passed. I wanted to stay up with them. And so I jogged a little faster, and I will admit that I'd met a person on the bus that was taking us to the starting point, and I just felt like I should be able to go faster than him. He was older than me. He didn't look like he was in as good a shape as me, but my bad, he was in much better shape than me. And so I was using him as a pace point. And he was able to go faster than I was. And so there we were climbing that next hill. And the next hill was a little more steep. And we continued on. And then I got a little relief. It got a little easier. We started down this path, and I'm rounding around and regaining a little bit of energy, feeling better. I've stopped a couple of times at the aid stations and gotten a banana and gotten some drinks. And so I felt like I'd kind of recharged a little bit. And so we rounded around, and they put us on a road. There's a one section of road where we had to connect two trails. So I rounded around the bend of that road, and I looked up, and I saw this hill, like a hill I've never seen before. It appeared to me that it went practically straight up. Now, I know it didn't, but it was an imposing hill. And so I started up the hill, and I felt like it was an easily done thing because the hill was not that long. You know, I figured, okay, well, if I jog as far as I can and I walk the rest, I'll be fine because it's not that big. Now, I didn't notice that what was blocking me was a turn in the road and the trees. And so as I got to the place where I thought it was going to get easier, it actually turned and banked and went even steeper. At one point, I felt like this was it. This was going to be the end of me. There was no way I was going to make it up this hill. My legs were cramping. We were now at this point well over halfway through the race, and I was through my reserves. I had not reserved what I needed. I had not attended to myself along the way, and I was cooking myself. I ended up walking beside this woman who was telling me about her partner who was running on ahead of us. He had been training in West Virginia for months, and he was used to the steep hills like this, and they weren't bothering him at all. But she and I, we were training on flatter land, and we didn't really have the reserves we needed. Now, I will tell you that I did finish that race, and my walking partner there did finish the race, and that person that I was trying to pace with, well, he did finish the race too. We finished the race, but it was a miserable slog up that hill, and I've never seen it more steep. I don't think I've ever been on a hill in a car that was that steep, and I'm not even sure I would have been comfortable in a hill in a car that steep. And I learned a few lessons along the way, and one is that you really do have to watch it along the way. And two is you really have to pace yourself along the way. And three is you really have to be aware along the way before you hit that really steep part. Well, as I think about a marriage in crisis, and not just a little bit in crisis, but in marriage disaster, it makes me think about that run. Because that run is a good representation of what happens along the path when we don't realize what's going on in our relationship. So we start in a marriage, and everything seems so easy. We're just flying through life and maybe not attending to the fundamentals that we need to in a marriage. We forget about how we're trying to build a we, and we forget about how we're supposed to be a team, and we forget about the fact that this relationship is the priority, and we let other things pull us off. And because of that, we haven't attended to those fundamentals along the way. And so as we don't attend to those fundamentals, marriage issues just pop up, but they don't just pop up. They end up haunting us. Now, a marriage issue comes up in any relationship, but if you've got the fundamentals down, generally you can address and correct them because that's all you have to do when it's an issue. An issue generally around the beginning of a marriage crisis is simply the fact that you two are viewing the relationship differently. You have a different mindset and a different understanding about what the relationship is meant to be. And so at this point, it's no big deal. It's just a difference of understanding. And so at that point, a marriage issue is pretty easily corrected. You just address the issues, correct the issues, correct the paradigm you have of each other, the perceptions you have at each other, and you grow stronger. But if you don't attend to those issues when they arise, they become marriage problems. Now, one of the things I've talked about before is the fact that many times when people are in my office and they're telling me about the problems they're having, I ask them a very simple question. What was the first fight, the first significant fight, the first significant argument, disagreement that you had in your relationship? Generally, when they name it, it's exactly the same thing we're dealing with then. It was an issue at the beginning. Now it's a problem. Now, problems are also corrected fairly easily. Now you're on the slant upward, and it's a little more of a difficulty because now you've got some miles behind you, and you failed to get that training down. You failed to get the fundamentals down, but you can still address and correct those issues. Now, there has to be some healing along the way because the reason it's a problem is because hurt has been caused by the fact that the changes didn't happen before. The issues weren't resolved before, and so now there's a lingering effect of hurt, and there's a lingering effect that has to be addressed. There has to be both addressing of the issues and correcting the issues and also healing and coming back together. Now, a lot of times when couples come out of marriage problems, they have a stronger relationship. Because now they've stood together and they've dealt with the issues and they've learned from them and they've realized that they really do have to attend to them. This is that point when maybe you see a young couple that really is at that first stage of going, wow, what is this really about? I've really got to figure out this marriage thing. And so they really set back and they try to figure out what this is truly about. And because of that, they have the opportunity for some growth, the opportunity to have weathered some situations, some difficulties, to find healing and to come together. But if they don't solve their marriage problems, it becomes a marriage crisis. Now, a marriage crisis is a crisis because at this point, the anger has begun to be a bigger piece. It's not just the hurt that things can't change, it's the anger that the other person won't change, and it becomes much more against each other. Instead of it being we've got a relationship problem, it becomes you're the problem. You've got a problem that you've got to solve, and both people are committed to that paradigm, that belief system, and because of that, neither person is budging much. And if somebody doesn't budge, they're going to find themselves at the next stage. But if they decide to budge, if one person says, wait a minute, I've got to figure out how I play a role in this. I can solve this. And this is often the place where people come into my program. A lot of times when they come in with marriage problems, I love it because they're so easily solved. They get it so quickly. They're not the ones who are saying, why should I have to change? They're the ones that say, wow, we have to change. We have to really change the fundamentals of our relationship. And so when people come into my program with marriage problems, the changes are very fast. The changes are very fast and permanent because now they understand things differently and they've shifted the whole situation. Oftentimes when there's a marital issue, maybe they need a little bit of help. Maybe they find a little bit of guidance. And those are the people who come through my program, grab my Save the Marriage system, and get right-sided just because they need a little shift. That's the easiest. It's almost an imperceptible piece where they're fixed and they go, wow, that, you know, we don't really have an issue anymore. And they generally avoid becoming a problem. But once they become a problem, they still find the healing because now they understand things differently and they understand where to go. In a marriage crisis, it's a bit different. Because in a marriage crisis, generally one person is so hurt and angry that they will not do anything. And the other person, also hurt and angry, is choosing to do something. And so this is where they have to overcome that big place of saying, why me? Why should I have to deal with this? Why doesn't my spouse have to deal with that? And my response is because somebody does. Somebody's got to start the process. Because if you don't start the process, you'll never get through the process. And if you never get through the process, you never get the relationship you want, nor do you find the transformation in yourself that is necessary for that. So that's the important thing of this marriage crisis. For one person to be able to say, I'm in, and I'm going to work on this, even though right now my spouse doesn't want to be a part of this. My spouse is resisting because of the anger and resentment. Now, the next stage is the big one, the marriage disaster. Usually in a marriage disaster, pretty much neither person is wanting to do anything with the relationship. Both people have pretty much checked out. Now, when they come at that place in the relationship to me, I know that the first thing that has to happen is the person, one of the people, has to say, okay, I am going to take responsibility. I am going to move forward with this. So then the big question that people ask me is it possible to bring a relationship back from the marriage disaster? Now, let's go back to my little trail as I was running those miles. The marriage issues, that's just kind of the typical stuff when you first get to that place where there's a slight incline. Up until then, the marriage is running downhill, right? Both people are so energized about the relationship and life and everything seems so rosy. And then they hit that first little uphill. That's the marriage issue. Hopefully, they've already got those fundamentals. But then the marriage problem is a little steeper, a little more difficult, but you just have to pace it and make sure you move through. Marriage crisis. Now we're on the uphill, the tough uphill that really shows what you're made of. It really makes you decide, am I pushing through with this or am I backing off? The marriage disaster, well, that's like that road that I'd never seen before, and I don't know that I've seen it since. It was so steep and so soul-crushing that the only way I was able to get through it was because there was a walker beside me that we both said, we'll get over this. We're going to get ourselves to the top. Had I been doing it by myself with no one around me, I think I would have walked away because it was just too painful. My legs were cramping. I was exhausted. I had no more resources, and I had to dig deep. I had to find some method of doing that. At this point in a marriage disaster, it's one-sided. And there's resistance and apathy from the other side. The other side has completely checked out, and no longer are they angry, they're apathetic. They just go, I'm done, I don't care, I don't feel. And it is possible to get beyond this, but it's exponentially more difficult. It's about trying to roll back to the place where it's really a marriage crisis, not a marriage disaster. And when you get it back to the marriage crisis, sometimes you find yourself in the midst of anger again. Here's the thing. Every stage is exponentially more difficult than the one before it. It's not just a slow uphill battle, but each stage is a little more steep, a little more difficult. And sometimes it feels like it has grown exponentially on you on the difficulty to get back to it. Here's where the crisis to disaster can really fool you. Some people don't realize that they have moved from crisis to disaster. So how can you tell? Well, crisis to disaster has a couple of hallmarks to it. One is that the conflict often drops. Nothing's changed. Now notice, if you have solved the issues and the conflict drops, that's because you've solved and healed. But if the conflict has been there and suddenly there is no longer any conflict, it can fool you into thinking, well, everything must be okay. Because the lower conflict feels good after a lot of conflict, but can actually represent the apathy growing. The other person has given up on even having a conflict. The conflict was out of anger. The apathy is out of disconnection and out of feeling like there's nothing that can be done. So if conflict drops without some resolving issue, sometimes you're teetering on that spot between a crisis and a disaster. You see, apathy always replaces anger if there's no healing, but it can look a whole lot like complacency. Apathy sometimes fools us into thinking, well, I guess the other person is okay now. I guess maybe me not doing anything worked after all. Maybe me just waiting for things to iron out worked out after all. And what they really discover is maybe the other person's waiting for some nodal event, a child to leave for college, or for some anniversary to pass, or for some crisis in the family to get going, or to find some way of moving beyond it. Sometimes they're willing to stay in the relationship, but have no relationship. In other words, they're willing to walk through life in a fairly soulless relationship in order to avoid other things. But the real thing here is that apathy can sometimes fool us into believing it's about complacency. Don't be fooled by apathy. So at this point, the marriage is on life support. That's the marriage disaster. Marriage is on life support, and one person has their hand on the plug. Sometimes both people have their hands on the plug, but at least one person has the hand on the plug, and they're not sure whether to pull it or not. This is when it requires the full attention of the person who's working on the relationship. It requires the full attention, both in personal and relational transformation. It's not enough to say, okay, I'll be who you want to be. It's not okay to say, okay, we'll make the relationship what you want it to be. It has to actually be a transformational moment. We have to build something we both want, and I have to really show up in life and have to really become the person I need to be. It requires your full attention. Now, this is not to scare you, but to prepare you. It's not to scare you into thinking, oh my gosh, we are on life support and nothing can happen, but to prepare you for the different stages that happen, and to prepare you for what needs to happen in the relationship for it to come back. Now, let me be very honest. If you find yourself in the midst of a marriage crisis or even a marriage disaster, I can't give you 5 hints that will solve your relationship. It needs more than that. Every day I hear from people who say, just give me a couple of hints. You know, I don't need to know everything. Just give me a couple of hints. And my response is, you don't need a couple of hints. You need to know, and you need to transform. People who want hints want the shortcut. They want to get back to a relationship that is not on the verge of divorce, but they don't want to save their marriage. They don't know how to get back to a loving place. They just don't want to be where they are now. That's not going to help. That's not going to solve the issues. What really needs to happen is to begin to reverse the process, to go from that apathy back to anger, unfortunately, and to solve it and to correct it and to heal and transform. The relationship's got to heal. The people have to heal. The people have to transform, and they have to find a new way through the relationship. Don't ever believe that there's some shortcut to how to solve this. It requires effort and time. If it's gotten to the point where you're chugging up that very steep hill, it's not enough to get a couple of hints somewhere. It's time to dig in and see if you can change it by really following a process and finding where you can with the healing. Now, you may not choose my process, but if you do, I would invite you to join. But first, by grabbing my system. That is the fundamental foundational piece of this process for me to use my method, to use my approach. And that is to go to savethemarriage.com and grab the system. Now, if you have the system and you find yourself going, okay, I got that. I understand what's supposed to happen. I don't know how to get to the rest. I want to invite you into my VIP program. This is a special program where I have extra training and I have extra coaching to help you use the resources at your disposal to find a new way into the relationship. This is a membership program that's designed to help you stay on track. Remember that person who was walking beside me? You have a whole community walking beside you in the VIP program. Not only that, but I'm going to make sure that that walk along is with me, showing you what to avoid, what to do, how to do it, and how to focus both on the relationship and yourself. If you have the Save the Marriage system and you're ready to step it up, go to savethemarriage.com/virtualcoaching. Virtual coaching, that's VirtualCoaching, virtual coaching, all one word. Find me there, and I hope to see you in the VIP program. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.